most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six three-letter acronyms at Disney World. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 109 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of February 19th, 2017. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. It seems that every subculture has its own language. Whether you're into medicine or music, or you're into technology or tango, we all use specialized language to communicate more specifically and maybe to show how much we're into our particular subject. The use of special language is true with Disney fans as well, and you can find that there are an array of TLAs, or three-letter acronyms, that pop up in many Disney discussions. Today, we're going to take a look at the top six three-letter acronyms at Disney World. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who's an ANG, which is all-around nice guy, Russ Reeves. Russ, welcome back.
Thanks, Herb. It's great to be with you. I would describe you as my SDF, my special Disney friend. And so I'm glad to talk about three-letter acronyms with you tonight.
Well, TVM, thank you very much. So I guess that was a four, maybe squeezed into a three. Oh, like I can see where this conversation is going already. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
But before we get into the three-letter acronyms, the warm-up question for today is, what is your favorite scene in the new Soarin' Around the World movie?
I really like all the scenery in this film. I just wrote it not long ago for the first time, and it's really breathtaking. I think probably for me the most like really breathtaking and unique moment in it for me was when the whale comes up out of the Arctic waters there. That was really kind of a really breathtaking moment. And when I think about all that SeaWorld has been through and the fact that one day the day will come when we can no longer go over there and see Shamu, having that little encounter with the orca there in Soarin' was a special moment there.
And there's a lot going on in that scene. So the polar bears are posing just
there
right.
There is.
And
yeah.
The iceberg is chipping just right. And the whale is jumping just right.
And, so. And that all happened in real time. And none of that CGI at all, right?
Oh, absolutely. Not, yeah, I don't know. But it makes it perfect.
Yeah.
So the favorite scene for me is near the very end when you're approaching the Eiffel Tower and you're kind of come up on it from the bottom and then you start to rise up and you can feel that in the seat. I really enjoy that spot. Something else I enjoy about the movie, which is not really a particular scene, but it is the way that the scenes are cut together. I think that was done really, really creatively, where one shape will morph into another or one cloud will expose the next scene. And I really like the work that they did there.
Yeah, it is. And I think that they really upped the effect of the transitions between one scene and the other. Like, you know, some of those are really, like, the thrill level in the scene transitions is, you know, really accelerated beyond what the old attraction was. You know, in the old attraction, you had that sort of one moment where the golf ball was coming at you. But I felt like there were, like, you know, a half a dozen of those moments in this one.
Yeah, I agree. Where the plane's coming at you when you're in Sydney Harbor or... I think it's a hawk or something when you're in the spot with the Grand Canyon, or even how the balloons and I think the Taj Mahal connect together. Yeah, I think they really up their game and the effects are just really, really fun. And I guess when you make a movie, you don't want people to walk away and say, oh, I really like the cuts between the scenes. You want people to enjoy the experience. But I think the cuts are part of the experience. They just did a nice job with it.
They are. Yeah, that's when I think you feel the effects of the, you know, whole mechanism at work the most. I will say one thing I learned, and I hope this is a helpful tip to folks, is you want to sit as close to the center as possible, because the further out you are on the edges, the images get distorted a little bit. So I was out on nearly the far edge, and the Eiffel Tower had a significant bend in it from where I was sitting. So if you have the opportunity to get close to the middle, and you can even ask when you get there, and if it's not too overwhelmingly crowded, they'll accommodate your request. Just tell me you'd like to sit close to the middle.
Mm. I've noticed that as well. And, you know, I don't remember that from the original Soarin' movie, or maybe just a tiny bit.
I don't either.
Yeah, but it's very, very pronounced now. If you're at the edges, things really are, like the Taj Mahal scene, I think, especially the Eiffel Tower scene, just things look bent over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so definitely next time I'm there, I'm asking to sit closer to the middle.
Yep, that's a good tip. Okay, let's jump into the topic for today. Top 6 3-letter acronyms at Disney World. And Russ, we are over to you for number one.
Well, you know, I felt like when I started planning Disney trips for my family, I had to learn a whole new language with all these acronyms. And it wasn't too many years ago that everybody started telling me I needed to check MDE for all the, you know, different things. And I had to learn that MDE stood for My Disney Experience, which is both the smartphone app and the website where you do all the planning. That's your portal for planning. You know, I had to learn what MDE stood for and then learn my way around on the site and the app to figure out how to do what I wanted to do on there. And now I've become quite proficient with it, and I really love using it. There's so many things you can do on there. I'm just curious, you're an AP, an annual pass holder, which is a 2-letter acronym. but what do you find, like, what do you use the MDE most often for?
It's interesting. So I'm an older guy, and I'm often tied to my PC and my browsers, but I've found that what I use it most for is FastPass reservations. And if I'm sitting at my desk in front of my computer, I will usually pick up the phone to make the FastPass reservation using the My Disney Experience app on the phone because I find it to be faster. It's very quick. You know, there aren't a ton of options, and you pick your day, you pick your park, you pick the attraction and the time, and you're good to go. So for me, MDE, my Disney Experience, I usually use it for the FastPass Plus reservations.
Yeah, and now you can make your subsequent FastPass reservations after your initial 3 from the app. You no longer have to go to the kiosk.
Yes.
So I have a friend who is in Walt Disney World right now, and he texted me yesterday to say that he had gotten 8 fast passes at Magic Kingdom that day by using the app. And I'm thinking that's going back to the kind of fast pass efficiency that you could have gotten years ago with the old paper system. But the advantage is now you're not splitting your family up with somebody running all over the park to get fast passes for everybody. So yeah. That's a really great change.
Yeah, yeah. 8. That's amazing. That must be up there for a record. And actually, I've learned recently that I used to think, well, you get 3 and then you're out of luck. Yeah, you could try for another one, but it's not going to happen. And then I tried for another one and I was able to get it. Even if you make 3 later in the day, oftentimes you can find other ones. It's worth trying to find additional FastPass Plus reservations using the My Disney Experience mobile app. And I was kind of shocked. I'd written it off, and I shouldn't have done that because you can get those after number 3. It really can happen.
Yeah, so that changes your strategy as to whether or not you want to kind of front load your 3 so that you can churn out those extra ones all day long.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do you want to reserve your times later in the day and try to kind of rope drop and beat the crowds for the early part of the day? So those are all things to think about, and you got to just keep checking your MDE to make it happen.
There you go. Keep checking MDE. That's a good one. I think part of it is probably based on the crowd levels too. So if you're going during a slower time, you probably have a lot more options. But okay, good. I think this was a perfect one to start off the list, MDE. All right, number 2 is over to me. So my 3-letter acronym is going to be EMH, which stands for Extra Magic Hours. If you have a chance to stay at a Disney resort, every day Disney opens up one of the theme parks for an hour early and or one of the parks for 1 or 2 hours after regular closing, and only allows those folks who are guests at a Disney resort to enjoy the park during that time, which means that usually the crowds are going to be lower. Now, it may mean that the crowds later in the day are going to be higher because all the resort guests decided to flock to that crowd or that park, but you get a chance to experience the park when the general public cannot. And that's a really, really nice perk that Disney offers to those guests who are staying in one of their resort hotels. So my first TLA is EMH, Extra Magic Hours.
Yeah, and my strategy for using the EMH is going to vary whether or not I'm staying on property or not. Because when I'm staying off property, I do not go to the park that has the extra magic hours, because throughout the day the crowds are going to be higher because you've got an increased number of resort guests plus the general public there. But when I'm staying on property, I tend to go to the EMH parks because I want that extra hour in the morning, hour in the evening. And if you've got park hopper tickets, you can really make good use of it by doing, going to the extra magic hour park, either for the extra morning or evening hour, and then going somewhere else for the rest of the day when the crowds get heavier. So,
yep, I think it's a good tip. And of course, where can you find information about EMH?
You can look on MDE, you can find that information there.
Yeah, that's very good. We connected those together, see? Okay, number two was EMH. Number three, Russ, back to you.
Well, about one out of every 4 days, if you check MDE, you'll find that there's an EMH at DHS, Disney's Hollywood Studios. I love this three-letter abbreviation. I was trying to think, is it the only three-letter abbreviation for a park? You've got AK, you've got MK. I don't even know how you abbreviate Epcot because it's already an abbreviation. And so DHS is the only three-letter abbreviation for a park I can think of. But I really like this one because it's unique. It's almost a snapshot in time. It's new in the sense that it replaced the old three-letter abbreviation for that park, which was MGM. But I think soon it's going to be replaced with a new name, and there will be a new abbreviation, whether or not that's a three-letter abbreviation or not. We'll see, but certainly the rumor mill is churning, and we're hearing a lot of speculations about what that new name for that park might be. You're a local. Are you hearing any rumors or any whispers in the wind about a new name?
So one I heard a while back was Disney's Hollywood Adventure. So it seemed to check the boxes that Disney marketing people, I think, have. It has the word Disney in it. It kept the word Hollywood, and it used the word adventure, which they did out in California. So to me, while it seemed like just pick one from column A and column B and column C, and there's your new park name, it did kind of make sense. So that's one I've heard. Have you heard of some?
I have. I heard somebody say recently that, I can't remember if they heard this was a rumor or they were just hoping for this, Disney's Florida Adventure to kind of be a counterpart to California Adventure, but that really would not be a good name for that park because California Adventure is all about the state of California. Disney's Hollywood Studios is not all about the state of Florida, and it's not going to be that after all the refurbishments are done and the new constructions are done. So that really wouldn't be an appropriate name for it, except that it is an adventure park in Florida. The one that I have heard more recently from more reliable sources, and when I say more recently, it's probably been 6 or 8 months ago that I heard this spinning around, was Disney's Cinemagic Kingdom. And I have to tell you, I don't love that name. That doesn't really resonate with me, but that was the last rumor I heard, Cinemagic Kingdom.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of made-up words, but it wouldn't be the first time. It reminded me initially of the old parade Spectromagic.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't, I'm a traditionalist at heart, so like, I'm going to probably resist most changes. So I have to keep that in check as well. Like, you know, don't throw this thing out or complain about it too much, because it might end up being a good name change. It incorporates the two new areas that are cinematically themed. It keeps that idea of magic in the Disney parks. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's too close to being Magic Kingdom. And then you've got three parks that are kingdoms. You've got Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, Cinemagic Kingdom. And then what do you have? Epcot Kingdom. You know, so, you know, so it just, I don't know. I don't like that. I hope we start getting some rumors of some more appealing names soon.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that marketing people have mortgages too. So they're probably hard at work coming up with lots of different options and trying
That's
to figure
right.
out a new
and,
name.
And they don't typically consult the guests on the World of Walt podcast for suggestions when they make those changes. So,
well, let's just hope that we're part
of it. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, maybe we'll be part of a focus group someday and we can express our heartfelt desires for what this new name is going to be. The third one, that park is gone.
But for right now, at least, you can go on to MDE, you can find an EMH at DHS, and one day you might be finding that EMH at CMK. Cinemagic Kingdom.
Okay, so that was number three. We're back to me for number four. So I'm going to head over to the parking lot of the Magic Kingdom, and I'm going to go to the gateway to the Magic Kingdom, the TTC, the Ticket and Transportation Center. Mm. So way back in the day, I think the idea was supposed to be that the Ticket and Transportation Center would be the gateway to many different things at Walt Disney World. And in a way it is. It's the gateway to the Magic Kingdom. It can be a gateway to Epcot. But it's not really the central hub to get to everything. And given how big and sprawling the Walt Disney World Resort is, I can understand that. But if you arrive at the Magic Kingdom by car, you will spend a few minutes at the TTC, and you will get to pick your mode of transportation over to the Magic Kingdom. And actually, there are three, some of the time at least, although most people head directly to the first two that are top of mind. So the first two, of course, are the Staten Island-style ferry boats. So if you walk through the TTC and you take a left, you can get to the ferry boat, or the Highway in the Sky monorail if you head straight ahead. But there is a third option if you take a right as you enter.
Can you swim?
Only if you can swim faster than the animals that are in the water, which I would not recommend. So you can take a bus. And so I believe the buses run most of the time. If things are busy, it can often be a much faster way to get over to the Magic Kingdom. Now, it's not as a unique, magical, exciting way to get the Magic Kingdom. It's not like a Staten Island ferry boat or a monorail in the sky, but it's quick. They will often cycle a lot of Disney buses through the TTC to drive right over to the Magic Kingdom, and it's a very short drive. When they head out of the TTC, they take a left heading north. They go by the Contemporary, and they take a left into the bus drop-off area where all the resort buses come and go. So that is sometimes, at least, a third option at the TTC. But TTC, Ticket and Transportation Center, that's the next one on my list.
Well, I have learned something today because I never knew that you could get a bus at the TTC to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
that's a new one on me. I do say to folks who are planning their first trip or maybe looking for some tips that if you're staying at a Disney resort, you should use the bus for Magic Kingdom so that you can kind of bypass the TTC. The bus will drop you off practically right at the Turnstiles to go into the Magic Kingdom. So I think that's a good time saver for you. But yeah, other than that, the TTC is really the front door to Walt Disney World for a lot of us. That's our first encounter we have there. And so, it's an abbreviation that you'll hear a lot. In fact, I don't know anybody who calls it the Ticketing and Transportation Center. It's always the TTC.
Yeah, Yep, it is. And you actually, if you check out the trash cans in the area, their logo has TTC on it, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah. So some of these three-letter abbreviations actually are more like official canon than others, you know. Some of them are just kind of grow out of the fan community and, you know, internet discussion boards and social media and all that. But then some of them are, you know, really kind of official Disney lingo, and TTC seems to be one of those.
Yes, it does. You're right. Okay, number four, TTC, and back to you, Russ, for number five.
Well, we can't get through an episode without talking about food. So we have to make an ADR, which is an advanced dining reservation. As I was thinking about my list of abbreviations, I thought of some specific places like BOG, which is Be Our Guest, which you can't get anywhere near without an ADR, usually. But I can't narrow it down just to one restaurant. So I chose ADR, Advanced Dining Reservation, because if you're planning a Walt Disney World trip, you're going to want to make some ADRs. If you like to have a good meal, sit-down meal in a table service restaurant, you're just about going to have that ADR far in advance to get into some of the higher demand places. If you're staying on property in a Disney resort, you can make those reservations 180 days out. And some places require 180 days out because you won't get it 179 days out.
Yeah.
So I always go with a full list of ADRs. Sometimes I end up canceling some of them, but I always, on that 180th day out, I'm on the MDE planning my ADRs fervently for my trip.
That is the way to do it. And for a number of places, like you mentioned, if you want to get into Chef Mickey's, if you want to get into Cinderella's Royal Table, if you want to get in to Be Our Guest, you need to have those ADRs as early as you can possibly get them, because otherwise, even if you are willing to wait, there is no more room at the inn.
Now, how far out can you book ADRs?
I think it might be 90 days. That's my guess. I don't actually know. It's a good question, but it's my guess.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you're not staying on property. It may be that you can still book 180 days out if you're off property, but when you're on property, you get what's called a 180 days plus your length of stay. So you have 180 days plus however long you're staying there to make that to make those reservations. In other words, you don't have to go on every day and say, like, okay, this is 180 days out from Monday, and this is 180 days out from Tuesday. On that 180th day, you can plan your entire trip's worth of ADRs. So yeah, it may be that that's the advantage. And I'm sure somebody listening to this is probably, you know, going to send us encouraging and helpful, edifying note in social media to let us know what the correct answer to that question is.
As social media is, yes. So we'll hope for that. Yeah, and because
keep it nice. We're trying to find out information here. We're trying to help you. You help us, right?
We're doing our best. Yeah, and that plus is kind of neat, because if you have a vacation which is 5 or 6 or 7 days, if you're 187 days out, you're going to beat most of the crowd, and you've got a really, really good chance of being able to get into Be Our Guest or get into Cinderella's Royal Table. So if you're staying on site, take advantage of that 180 plus, especially for things later in your vacation, because you've got a much better chance than the rest of the world in getting those spots. Okay. Our next one is over to me, and it is number six. So for number six, the final one, I am going to go with DME, which is Disney's Magical Express. Disney's Magical Express is the bus service that runs from Orlando International Airport and takes you to a Disney Resort hotel. You get to skip the baggage claim and go straight to the resort. The good news is it's a free service. That's pretty magical that Disney is giving you something free. And it allows you to also check your bags at your home airport and then show up at Disney World, and they will magically deliver the bags to your room. So a really nice service for people who are arriving by air and staying at a Disney resort. DME, Disney's Magical Express.
Yes, and DME only operates from MCO, which is the three-letter abbreviation for the Orlando International Airport. So if you're flying into Sanford or anywhere else, you have to arrange other transportation. But if you're coming into MCO, you can take the DME, and you can go to your resort and then head out to the TTC or the DHS. You can make some ADRs, and you can get in on some EMHs, but be sure to check your MDE.
M-O-U-S-E. There you go. I think we fit all of the acronyms in there. That was pretty good.
Yeah, so good luck learning all these abbreviations. For those of you that are new to this, I hope this has been helpful for you. I know I wish that I had somebody there to help me decode all these abbreviations when I was starting to make plans for my family. So when you mentioned this topic, I thought, boy, this is something I could have used some years ago, and hopefully it'll be helpful to somebody.
It was a fun topic, and you know, the interesting thing is that we have just scratched the surface. So if you do a little surfing on the internet, and if, especially if you expand it beyond just three letters to two letters and four letters, you will find dozens and dozens of acronyms that people have come up with, like MNSSHP for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and pretty much any attraction, any resort, any special event, there is an acronym to match up with it.
That's right, yeah. Well, my family likes to talk about that 1 week there. It's that first week of November where you can get the last Halloween party and the first Christmas party as Mickey's Very Scary Christmaween Party.
Oh, goodness. And how many people had to work overtime in the middle of the night to make all of that happen?
Oh, it's amazing. It's Halloween one day, it's Christmas the next.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Russ, good list of the top six three-letter acronyms at Disney World. So you kind of did the recap already, but quickly, number one, MDE, number two, EMH, three, DHS, four, TTC, five, ADR, and six, DME. So as always, it was a lot of fun, and thanks a lot for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. It's a fun topic.
Today we head out to the music of Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we have made it through the list of the top six three-letter acronyms at Disney World, but our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think. You can add to the list by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/109, a page that, of course, works well on tablets, smartphones, and desktops. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch and invite you to follow me on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your friends and your family about it. And as always, today, a heartfelt thank you to you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very, very cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.